Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim, and our guest today is Shanna. So Shanna, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Sure. My name is Shanna Greathouse. I live in very gray Cleveland, Ohio. Have been here most of my life and can't say I'm a sports fan, so I won't plug that. And yeah, I've been founder and CEO of a company called Piggyback since March and loving it.
Awesome. So can you just tell us more about what you guys do and how you got the idea for it?
Oh, sure. So what we do, it's a mobile app. So you download it on your phone, Google Play or the App Store. And it's a way to connect with your neighbors ahead of time to find contractors as a group. So you get group buying power. So basically, think of it like a virtual yard sign that's proactive. You get notified that a contractor's in your area, and then you can piggyback on your neighbor's contractor and hopefully get a deal. It's up to the contractor on whether they extend a referral agreement or referral like a fee or not. And most importantly, it's about just making our lives really easy. We're all so very, very busy. And it feels like even with working remotely for a lot of us, it just makes it even more blurred with the lines of when work starts and ends. So this is a way to set it and forget it. The reminders come to you. You can actually like manage your wish list, and it'll actually run an algorithm in the back end to combine with your neighbors without you having to even talk to anybody. So it's just about being really easy and sustainable and making us a community again.
So is your vision to compete with like Nextdoor and TaskRabbit, or is it more of like you're considering like integrating into some of these platforms? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah, they're very different business models. It's not something you think of a lot, but it's a more of a passive business model versus an active one. So if your plumbing breaks tomorrow and your basement's flooding, that's not a solution necessarily for Piggyback. I would say go to your TaskRabbit or to your Angie to find those. We're more about, I love that you said Nextdoor, because really that is like our competition. It's social media. It's the people who say, post in a community group and say, do you have a recommendation? Or many of us see those neighbors that say, hey, I had a really great experience with this contractor and I'm just putting his name out there. That's where we're really competing.
So it's more of like not somebody that has like an urgent need, but if somebody needs like some remodeling done, they can go and team up with their neighbors and say, okay, we all need this done in the next like few months. It's not urgent, but we can work together to kind of build up a good quote for all of us.
Right. So, and it's done automated, so you don't have to really coordinate any of it. A great example would be contractor or concrete ceiling. Roofing is even a great solution. I mean, there you're even able to share dumpsters with your neighbors, which has even more cost savings and lowers emissions even more, which is another thing that we're really passionate about. So yeah, exactly.
So obviously with the marketplace, you have the chicken and the egg problem of like finding both parties. So how have you gone about doing that, or how do you plan to scale in that level?
Yeah, that's definitely something top of mind. We are doing a couple of things. One would be we're shifting our messaging to make it more clear. So we're focusing more on the wishlist feature that I mentioned about you can go into the app now and you can engage with it. You don't have to wait for the network to be built up. You can create demand for your community and then contractors will come. It's the field of dreams, build it and you'll come model. And the other part is we're actually, you know, it's not a scalable solution, but for startups, that's what you have to do. So we have a contractor ambassador program we're rolling out now. We have 3 contractors in the works in the local Cleveland area where we're really providing them with the services of calendar management for free. So, and then taking social media demand specifically and then pushing it into our app for them. So we're creating like the integration manually through a person and then also doing outreach for these small businesses that, you know, it's a game changer for them.
Right. So in terms of like getting people on the platform, like are you using Nextdoor, Facebook? Like how do you get like local people to sign up for the platform?
Yeah, it's word of mouth largely. We've done some paid social ads a bit, Nextdoor, Facebook leading the way, Instagram a little bit as well. We're really doubling down on social moving forward. We have some great IP we're creating with another startup in Cleveland around the explainer videos that I think will help to get some traction just because it's really unique. They're animated and we have a really fun logo. So there's more to come with that. As you can imagine, it involves a pig because it's piggyback. So right. It's fun. So we're looking for a couple different ways, social, word of mouth. We have a really robust referral program. And then we're also working on partnerships. So we have three right now and we're working on more.
So in terms of like monetization for you, so what would that look like? Is it more of like you take a certain percentage of each transaction or mm-hmm. are the contractors paying a fee to be on the platform? Like, what is the vision for that?
Yeah, great question. So it's a freemium model. One thing that I've been very passionate about is not pushing transactions through the application, but really keeping it as like a SaaS model with a subscription tied to it, but freemium, so you don't have to. So for the typical homeowner, 95% is our hypothesis aren't going to pay anything. Really, you can use it. We use a credit system. So I don't know if you're familiar with like TouchTunes. That's okay. In bars, there are jukeboxes where you can buy credits to play songs.
Right. Okay.
You just buy credit packages. So we just have credit packages where you can use those to piggyback or to post a job if you don't see something in your area. And that's, you get a certain amount of those for free, whether you're a contractor or a homeowner. And then after that, you can buy credit packs or you can go into a SaaS model if you're a contractor, which is about $50 a month.
So you're basically monetizing more from the contractors because the actual users are, I guess, like that. That's like the average person is probably never going to have to pay unless they need to put out tons of bids for their, or if they might be like an investor where they have multiple properties, then for them, it might make sense because they have multiple jobs that need bidding.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yep.
Awesome. So what would you say is like the biggest challenge that you're facing in your business today?
Right now, we're really working on our workflow for onboarding. So what I've seen is we get people excited, they sign up, and then they don't actually engage in the app. So that's where we're working on making that less frictionless, more intuitive, putting in guides within the application. Right now we have basically a wall where you have to sign up to actually see the app. So we're going to rethink that a little bit moving forward.
But have you looked at positioning in a sense where people are, I guess, seeing more of like what happens if they don't sign up? Because if they don't sign up, they're going to be spending way more, right? So I guess it's more of like this what if scenario.
Yeah, it's more, yes, very much so. And the challenge we have, again, around the messaging is people want to sign up for an app when they really need it. And that's not when to sign up for piggyback. Piggyback is when you don't need it, but you're just like, yeah, this will be chill to do later in the year. And let me just throw it on a wish list. So we're trying to capture more of that peace of mind of it's on a list, it'll get done. Like that checklist dopamine hit that you get when you check things off, kind of getting that earlier on where it's just posting it to the wish list. You almost get that dopamine hit that, okay, I've done the first step and something's happening in the back end to where it can get done for me. That's where messaging's kind of shifting around.
For sure. So have you guys raised money or like what has been the way that you've been able to fund this so far?
Yeah, it's been bootstrapped, which is pretty great. I have a fantastic CTO as well who is a developer. So I have a team of four developers, including a QA resource, partial marketing resource as well, who's amazing. And the development was actually done, you know, proactively ahead of funding. And then it's a partnership equity deal.
Awesome. So like, are you guys looking to raise money at all? Or is that not something that you want to do?
No, we definitely do want to raise money for scaling. However, we want to be ready for it. So we're not very actively pursuing right now. We do have a pitch coming up in a couple of weeks, but that is more proactive to build relationships. We really want to get more traction before we go to investors. We have a good value proposition. We have a great value proposition.
For
we
sure,
just want to show that we also have the chops around scaling it ourselves.
So when you say most people have signed up via word of mouth, like what does that mean? Is it just like your friends or just, you know, friends of friends? Right. Or like, have you gone to events and met people? Like, what does that look like for you?
Yeah, all of the above. If you follow me on LinkedIn, I apologize in advance. I post all the time. I'm at events all of the time. I've probably been to 15 or so. Maybe 15 plus mentioned the Science Foundation program and all of those cohorts, and that forces you through the program to talk to like 40 people. So that also helps. So it's been events, word of mouth, friends, family, partnerships, and referrals as well. Yeah.
So in terms of events, is it like specific events or networking? Like, how do you know like which events would make sense for you to attend to help get in front of like the right people?
It's a great question. I think it's good advice for every founder to get plugged into your local network. So, you know, there's an economic development fund nationally, and that trickles through the state level. And because of that, there are fantastic nonprofits around every state that support entrepreneurs. If you don't know where to go, start with your college or your alma mater. That doesn't work, go to your chamber of commerce and they'll be able to direct you. So they host a lot of events themselves. So that was part of it. I went to Futureland in Cleveland, VC Fest. It was the first time Cleveland's hosted that. It was great. Next year, it's going to be in Cincinnati. Other things around the Greater Cleveland Partnership Network, they throw great events that are around technology to sustainability. So plugging into those programs, I'm literally connected to every single one of them in Northeast Ohio. It helps a lot.
No, for sure. I mean, that's awesome. I think it's really nice that you're leveraging your network and where you live. And I think that like many people are online, like, oh, like, I need to talk to everybody everywhere. It's like, no, like start local, start, you know, with the people near you. And that's a very effective strategy. So what would you say is like your top priority in the next few months as we're nearing 2024?
So 2023 closeout is really about marketing. So we're really heads down on marketing messaging, website redesign. We have a version that I just threw up on the website, and it's not where it could be. It's good enough. But for us to really gain credibility and traction, we're taking it to the next level. So I'm very appreciative of that. The explainer videos are coming out. A couple of partnerships are in the works, specifically with local government. So those are really the focus. I'm also in an incubator, so that helps to keep me focused. And then 2024, my goal is to hit 10,000 users in the Cleveland area. We'll see what happens.
10,000 users would be how much in revenue? Like, you know...
Yeah, that's more like 30,000. It's like a 3-to-1 ratio.
30,000 a month or like in total?
Oh, no, for the year. For the year.
Yeah, okay.
So it's really a volume play. It's over, we're looking at suburban markets specifically. There's 782 in the US that have a population of 500K or less. And, you know, the value proposition gets bigger the more space there is between neighbors. So that's really where our focus is. That being said, Chicago, New York are great opportunities as well. And we have partnerships.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
So what would you say is like the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this company?
Before I started it? Oh, let me think on it. Maybe I don't want to say something. I don't want to waste the advice. So there's so much. Can I hear yours first? What would be your advice?
For me, I feel like it, you know, and actually one of the most common things I've heard, which I do agree with, is like, it always takes longer and costs more money than you think. Like anything that you're doing, because it's just, you always want things to be done faster, but especially in technology, it's like things will get delayed and this gets delayed. And then this ends up costing more in that future. And so it's always, you know, that's sort of what I've learned. That's oftentimes what we hear. And I do agree with that, like at least for me personally, but yeah.
Yeah. I can definitely sympathize with that. It does take a while. That means we move pretty quickly. So I'm definitely not complaining. I would say, even if you're introverted, which I know I don't come across as introverted, I very much am, do not let it rob you of opportunities. Step out of your comfort zone as much as possible. And whenever you feel, I don't know if you feel this way too, but whenever I feel, you know, a little, I'm just tired sometimes, I'll go to a networking event, which is not something that typically energizes me. But when you're talking about your own business to people and you know it, there's a market fit where they're going to get excited about it, it gets you excited all over again.
No, 100%. Yeah, I do agree with that. I think sometimes that when you go to these events, like I'm the same way, like my very first event, I didn't want to go to, I'm like, I don't even like want to go in. But I feel like once you're there, you kind of like, okay, like I'm already here, I might as well just go and talk to people. But yeah, for sure. I think it's like when you go and talk to people about it, even for me, like doing this, like it's very inspiring talking to people like yourself, people who are entrepreneurs or doing cool things. Like for me, it's always interesting to hear these stories because, you know, it's not an easy thing. And I think that people don't understand that, like, first of all, it's not easy, but like second, it's like that it is something that it's good to go and inspire other people, right? Because that's part of the reason why we have this podcast, is because people listen and think, okay, like I can get started, like anybody can do it, but you have to be willing to put the work in. So
yeah, that's the thing. Like it helps having experience, like being a consultant. I was am and was a consultant as well.
Yeah.
And that helps a ton. That being said, having a network is really what helps more so. So having
Sure.
people to lean on for different advice and expertise, which is again where those resources come in, is wonderful. You never
100%.
really feel like you're alone when you're an entrepreneur because you've got every entrepreneur cheering you on. Have you noticed that like you're talking to like multimillionaires and they're excited about what you're doing? And
For
you're like,
sure, yeah. Especially like on LinkedIn, you're like sometimes like I can't believe I'm talking to like this person, you know.
Yeah, it's surreal, but there's that unifying experience of being a founder.
100%, 100%. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing your company website or social media, just best way to get in contact with you?
Yes, definitely. Thank you for asking. It's piggyback.com, PIGYBAK.com. And then the handles are on LinkedIn, Instagram, and Facebook, and Nextdoor, and YouTube. Well, YouTube is different. It's Piggyback is just the handle, PIGYBAK. On YouTube, it's Piggyback App.
Awesome. Well, Shanna, thank you so much for your time, and we're rooting for you.
No, thank you. I appreciate your time as well. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. All right. Bye.
Bye. Take care.